Bobby?
Hi, Ken.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Ken.
Jump in.
I'm a Bobby girl in the Bobby world. Life in plastic. It's fantastic. You can break
it. Bobby welcomes you back to another episode of Extra Features with Harry Potter and Simon.
Well, one member down already.
And a podcaster down. A
podcaster down.
Simon. Did Tommy make a mistake?
Oh, I'm crying now. Oh, I'm crying.
It's like a whistle only dogs can hear. I don't get it.
Poor Simon is red. Who else is in the room?
Oh my God, it's killing me.
Kevin, compose yourself.
Oh my.
You are
the token adult in the room, it would seem. Hi, I'm Deb.
I'm Karen.
Kalicha.
The intern?
Yeah, that's the one.
I'm Simon.
And I'm Tommy. And tonight we'll be reviewing a number of great films that young Master Potter couldn't go to see because he's underage.
I think he was too busy whacking off in the bag, personally. Where's Zach? Hopefully he doesn't do that. Like,
I wondered what that picture of Hermione was doing in the bathroom.
What the most bizarre opening ever? Have you been drinking, Kevin?
What was in the pie?
He's high on a drug, and it's called Charlie Sheen.
I think it was the pie.
I think they were high on drugs when they made the first film, I have that to say.
All right, so...
Dobby's favorite food is babies. And so is the first movie on the list.
I think we should let Bob talk about this first.
All right, Bob, over to you.
Why? Why would you want me to talk about this?
Because you loved it so much.
Really? I watched it, I looked at it, I'm going, why would Simon make me watch this? Yeah.
What didn't you like about it then, Bob?
First of all, what was the point?
It's about development of babies in different countries.
Uh-huh.
One in America... One in China, and one in Africa.
There was one in Tokyo, one in Mongolia, and one in Africa.
And one in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So four babies.
Four.
It was a giver different output.
Abby, Angela, Yaniv, Melody, Ariel? No.
Yeah, I think that was... Ariel? I don't remember.
No, there's some dumb duplicates there anyway. Forget it.
What I'm just saying is, why didn't you like this? I thought it was fascinating.
I don't know, I lost interest in the first
time. Oh, no, I'm not saying it gets boring quickly.
You're not saying it gets boring quickly, or
no,
you are saying
it? It is. I got very repetitious. Like, I got the point after the first half an hour. Kind of like, I don't need an hour and a half of this, or an hour.
No, I was just going to say, I did not see this movie, but I will ask you, like, is it boring in the way that, is it like, your own child is fascinating, or like the child of somebody you know is fascinating, but...
No, it wasn't that. I found it fascinating to see that I really believe we overstimulate our children in this country, and I as a parent will say I do overstimulate them. I try not to. I think my wife does it more than I do, because I say, like, what are you going to do tomorrow? People ask me because I'm on holidays. I'm like, nothing. They just had 2 days at a water park. They don't need to do anything tomorrow. I want them to be at home, relax, be kids. And you see that in Mongolia. You don't see that with the San Francisco kid.
Hours of fun with a bucket.
Hours of fun with the bucket in the Mongolian kid. But you don't see that with the San Francisco kid. You don't see that with the Tokyo kid.
What about the child in Africa?
Well, that's the kid that fascinated the most. What does a kid do with no stimulus other than his brother?
He plays with the crap.
And he plays with the crap, and he plays with things. But that was fascinating to me. Because I know what the American kid's going to do. I know what the Tokyo kid's going to do for the most part. Obviously, the Tokyo kid's dad is very into sounds and playing with the synthesizer. He's playing with his kid with synthesizer. Same way I'm fascinated by movies. So I watch movies with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I also take my kids to the park. I also do other things.
I think what was great about it, though, is we make a lot of assumptions based on other cultures, too.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And in this case, it either proves or disproves different things that we've already...
Did it for you? Disprove anything?
Good question. I didn't really...
Or it didn't disprove anything.
It didn't necessarily disprove, but it made certain things clearer. Like, I mean, kids develop pretty much...
The same.
And we make assumptions, perhaps... That they don't, that different cultures do things differently.
The African baby was walking before the others.
Yes.
Yes.
And he was talking before the others, in a sense.
Because he has no stimulus. I think that's really it. Right. That he could only focus on the walking and talking.
Right. So there was no, I guess you'd almost call it stimulus clutter getting in his way.
That's what I was thinking. Well, that's what I was mostly interested in. The scene. Yeah. For me, it was the African kid I was fascinated by.
Okay, you know, we could even make an analogy for children here in North America or the westernized world in that, and I'm sure every one of us, because we're all pretty much the same age group, have pictures of us playing with pots and pans.
Mm-hmm.
So even as children, despite the fact that we were all given toys, you know, we had, you know, the Etch-a-Sketch or we had the Light Bright or whatever, but there was still something
Not my household.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I didn't get a Light Bright.
You never had a Light Bright?
No.
I had an Etch-a-Sketch.
You had an Etch-a-Sketch?
Everybody had an Etch-a-Sketch. Maybe come
but,
in.
You know,
I had an Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, did your mom let you have that one?
I had a rock.
Kevin was the youngest, so he didn't get much.
No, I wasn't. I was the middle child.
Are you?
Yeah.
I thought you were the
youngest. That explains so much.
Okay.
No, but what I'm saying is that, you know, we still...
I'm looking for that striped shirt.
As children, we still had this innate ability to want to play with pots and pans.
Imaginative play.
It was that imaginative play. Whereas, you know, that child in Africa, that was the only play they would have. Mm-hmm. Or in Mongolia, it was using a household item. Or something that, you know, was a practical item, but turning it into a toy. Whereas here, nowadays, if you look at the westernized world, I don't think you see that with children as much, because their toys already do so much, make so much noise, have so many flashing lights and buttons to press.
Now, having not seen the movie, how much of this would you attribute to the fact that the children in the developing countries don't have television?
A lot of it. A lot of it.
Because, I mean, basically everybody born after 1950 in the Western world grew up watching television to some degree or another.
Yep.
And I'm not one of these people that's just uniformly down on television. Like, some television for small children is excellent. But... You know, it is all too easy to put a child
it
in
is.
Front of the screen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that that kind of technology is available. And because, again, parents in the westernized world have a different lifestyle than those in Africa or the developing world. So a different lifestyle plays into it probably almost as much as the fact of the technology that's accessible. Do you
agree?
Okay.
I'm having a nap now about babies again.
You know what? I didn't want to watch this movie, and I put it on, and I liked it. I thought it was okay.
Wow, Kevin liked it?
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to rave about it. I think we talked about it after.
Bored of it. Because, okay, I get enough, get enough is the wrong word, but... Okay, I've been to your house, so I've seen your kids.
Yes.
I've been to my brother's house, so I've seen his kids. And I've watched them, like, play or whatever.
And you talk to me, and you get all the highlights you need with the
day. I don't need to watch a two-hour movie.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can see that.
I'd rather watch, like, people I know with their kids. I'd rather watch that.
Okay. I'm with you. The social interaction.
This one just, like, I lost interest during the first 5 minutes.
But that's what I'm like, because what I said at the beginning was, you know, I love watching children, but I like to do it in real time. And
that's the thing.
And there's no emotional connection unless it's your child or the child of somebody you care about.
Well, see the movie and let us know what you think.
Yeah, get back to us, Zach. We're waiting for you.
Zach can let us know, too.
I think I've got it.
How is that high school, Zach?
Dobby's waiting for Zach's reply.
Please send no replies to Harry Potter.
What's the email address?
extrafeatures@yahoo.ca
for a buck.
Yeah. I think it's good. Right. I should actually look into that. If the emails bounce back, I will.
So would you recommend this movie?
No.
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 No, really, I would.
I'd say sure,
why not?
I wouldn't. Because I think it's for very select people that are interested in it.
I would recommend it, but I think it could have been shorter.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I was interested, like you say, there were these lag times where it was just like, let's move on.
Well, there's no talking.
I was kind of annoyed by the hippie parents in San Francisco.
Oh, Baby Einstein, man, that's just wrong.
Yeah. All right, next movie.
The hippie parents will be a little insane, too.
Next movie on the list is Catfish, another documentary.
Yeah, what is the documentary this
week? I don't know, directed by Henry Joost and Ariel Shulman, starring Abby.
Well, is it really directed by both of them? I thought Henry Joost.
It was basically like three guys, right?
And two.
There was a third guy, two brothers.
Yeah.
And another guy. And it follows this guy as he gets... he has a sort of a friendship with an 8-year-old girl who sends him a painting. And then... from the painting, he's connected to her older sister, who he starts to have a relationship with over Facebook and stuff. And from there, it just starts getting weird. Now, who's seen this movie?
I have.
I just watched it last night, so it's fresh in my mind.
That's good.
Go ahead.
Good.
Feel free to talk.
What? Me? Okay. Well, it sort of went the range of emotions for me. Like, I got, okay, what is this? And then I got... okay, this is weird, this is strange, and then by the end, I thought, good movie, and this is one of the, like, out of the two of them that I just saw, this is, like, it was good, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Twist ending.
Yeah, there was a
little bit of a snafu.
Yeah. That was weird.
I think it's a classic case of a snafu in a movie.
It turns out that it's the mother of these kids, who's pretending to be the daughter's.
Does she have, I have not seen this movie, but I plan on it. Like, I just haven't got my hands on a copy yet.
Too much internet lately?
Oh, no.
Too much pacing.
It's on the same old babies.
Well, when you're on the, when you're on a drug like Charlie Sheen, it's all winning.
I think the
movie what a comeback.
Was... again, being familiar with it before I had seen the movie, having read an article in a magazine, I think it just...
spoiled.
No, I've got another spoiler for you.
No, it wasn't spoiled in the sense that, you did now.
I read the same article.
But what I appreciate is it really showed how... I don't want to say dependent, although that's really close to the word I want to use, how dependent we become on... the technology, you know, like this was a relationship based on Facebook, and how much we use technology as our form of communication these days.
See, I don't. I still prefer phoning Kevin up on the phone, even though he hates it, because I like to ramble.
I don't answer half the time.
And he has to listen to me ramble onto his answering machine. Then I'll call him back 15 times.
But I think what it shows is that we take things for granted. I think we take it for granted that the person we're exchanging emails with.
Who they are.
I have a question. Let's get break down this movie. Do you think he was duped, or do you think he knew the whole time?
Well, that's the thing. Is like, a lot of people accuse them of actually orchestrating the whole thing.
Yeah, right? Is this a true documentary?
See, I don't know. It never tells you that. They'll say, yeah, it is, 100%.
They'll say that.
But they pretty much went to this little girl's house and stalked her.
Yeah.
Because this actually reminds me not a little of the Blair Witch Project. Because when that movie first came out, they were like, all the trailers were like, you know, three students disappeared with a video camera. 1 year later, their footage was found. I mean, of course, later it came out that, yes, this was like a scripted movie, an improv movie, but it was fiction.
Like the Casey Affleck, whatever that thing was.
Oh, that thing with Joaquin Phoenix. And
that's it. That's the one I was trying to think of.
Coming up. Coming up.
Which one?
Coming up.
I'm still here.
Actually, when I was looking up all the stuff from IMDb, this, because that's what I do.
Did you have to pay for it?
No, thankfully not. But when I was looking up, I don't know, there were people who were saying there's two different sides to it, because people were saying, oh yeah, he knew about this. And it took, because there was the one part, here's a spoiler for you, where they go, they do go to the girl's house, they go to the sisters, and they see the letter that he, postcard that he mailed to her, and it says return to sender on it, but it's in her mailbox, just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wrote return to sender on it. There's another part, there's a few parts in it, but they were, on IMDb, they were saying, like, it's all fake. They knew about this, but then when I was watching it, I thought, it doesn't look fake.
I think they reshot parts of it.
They might have.
I think they probably did.
I think everything that happened in the movie really happened the way they say it did.
But they shot some of it.
They reshot parts of it. I think they didn't get a shot.
For dramatic purposes.
Exactly. I think they reshot their interview with the woman twice.
Mm.
And they must, you know what I mean? Just the way things work. It was too well edited for a documentary for me.
That's I came across feeling the same way.
Like, I would think about how I would shoot it, and if this happened to me,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't look like that. Maybe I'm not a filmmaker, that's the argument, but I watch enough film to know what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't look right to me.
Now,
I thought the part with the little girl was totally wrong. When they went, and, like, who sends them off to find her at her friend's house? Like, really?
Yeah.
And I felt bad for this woman. I'm like, really? She has those two, I don't know what, like, handicapped,
disabled
children to look after.
Could you?
And she has this much time?
That was actually going to be my question to you. How did you feel about this woman? Did you feel sorry for her?
Yes.
Were you appalled at what she had done?
No, sorry.
For her life? What she had done?
I felt sorry for her hardships, that she had to create a fantasy world to escape,
to cope
with her reality, because I felt this is a really strong woman to put, marry a man with two children like that,
mm-hmm.
who can't communicate, that just need to be fed. It was hard for me to watch.
I found that very disturbing to watch.
And I mean, these filmmakers just sort of, ambush her.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was fair to her. I understand what they were looking for. I get that, but that was, the ambushing scared me. Like, I don't think I could handle that if somebody did it to me as well as she did.
Well, and just as a general question, what role, if any, does the woman's husband play in this?
Just a really insignificant part. And I think that's why I felt bad for her, because she seems so unsupported in so many different aspects of her life from the husband. He just was kind of just there.
I think he was totally out to lunch.
Actually, yeah, that's what I thought about him, too. Like, he's sort of, I don't know what's going on. But actually, when I, she is on Facebook, because I checked, and I tried to add her, and then I found out she has too many friend requests. I'm going, okay, fine.
Is that what it said?
Yeah, you try to add her, and it says, sorry, this person has too many friend requests.
She must have got ambushed that way, too. Yeah, everybody wants to be her friend after this movie.
Probably.
Do you think she learned her lesson, or do you think she would do this again?
Absolutely.
Do it again?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you get that impression?
I clearly got that impression.
I definitely have no fear for doing this again.
As an aside, the makers of this documentary, as well as this woman and her family, were interviewed on one of the, you know, Dateline 2020 programs. And even the woman herself could not clearly answer whether she would or she wouldn't.
Well,
you know, she was kind of like, oh, I could see myself doing it again. And
I think the filmmakers try to make her look good in the light at the end of the movie when they get the credits going. She is now on Facebook as an established, saying she's an artist. And kind of like, I thought weird for the other woman, the photographer, is it?
Whose identity she used.
That she used?
Fully identity.
Because they don't have any interviews with her.
No, like, but she was interviewed on that documentary.
And what does she say? That's what I'm interested in. What does she say? Does she care?
I think, you know, again, there was that initial shock, like, you know, what are you telling me has just happened to...
Yeah, I was wondering that.
She was, you know, and again, it was the astonishing fact of what technology has enabled people to do, first of all. And I think she was, I want to say upset, not angry, you know, like not, you know, like raging, angry, but upset, because she came away, you know, saying that, you know, all you really have in this life is your reputation.
And your name.
So if your name is misused or misappropriated, you as an individual have a hard time clearing that up when it's at no fault of your own. And she says that's the difficulty she encountered in the time after all of this came to light.
Because it is really identity theft.
It is, indeed.
And it goes to show that just because, like, you know, this, the mother didn't, you know, use her name to take out, like, fake credit cards.
Yeah, it wasn't, yeah,
it wasn't the usual kind of identity theft. But still, it shows how deeply it cuts.
It did, because then she was, you know, it was like, it invalidated her life, in a way, because somebody else was personifying her.
Okay, so Catfish, recommend or not recommend?
Recommend.
Oh, I'm tough. I didn't really think it was a great film. Mm-hmm. And I like the ending, but we just ruined it, so you can skip it for as long as you're right now. I thought it was okay.
I'd still recommend it.
I think you have to see it to get it.
To get it, yeah, I definitely think you have to see it. I didn't love it. I found it a little slow at times.
I thought it was documentary-like.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll ask a question. If they were to go, the filmmakers were to go and do a sequel, like follow up with this woman and her family and the photographer, like all these different people in a year, would you be interested to see what happens next?
Well,
no.
I'd be interested, but not in the sense that it needs to be a documentary. It could be like a nice little 20-minute news segment on a news program.
Like a short film.
I think that's what an episode of Oprah or something stupid.
Yeah.
Talk show.
Yeah, I certainly don't see it as a film again.
All right, next film on our list is Ghost Rider, directed by Roman Polanski, starring Ewan McGregor, Pierce Brosnan, Olivia Williams, James Belushi, Timothy Hutton, Kim Cattrall, Anne Botting, John Bernthal, Tim Priest, Yvonne Tomlinson, and my favorite cast member, the entire cast of Bane. Anyway, sorry.
I think Bob's looking for that on the
Bob
paper.
Bob is looking for it. We have everybody who was in the film listed here, I think, pretty much.
No.
Right, Ghost Rider.
Bob. Ghost Rider. It's not about the guy with the flaming head.
No.
No.
Oh, I missed that one.
Did you watch the wrong movie?
I watched the wrong movie.
Have you seen this? We watched. I had it on, but you didn't watch it.
I don't know. I didn't. You didn't have it on when I was here.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Family Squabble. Move along.
That's okay.
I enjoyed it. I'll say that. It was good.
I loved it. That's all you have to say. It was good.
Going back to Bob.
What else would you like me to say?
It was fantastic.
Okay, it was fantastic. I really liked
the way that he wrote.
Like, what like did you ghost. like about
I
like
the characters. I like the interaction between Kim Cattrall's character and Ewan McGregor's character, and Ewan McGregor and Pierce Brosnan. They were good.
What did you like about the interaction between Ewan McGregor and Kim Cattrall? Because I thought that was kind of weak.
Yeah, it was very...
You just said you really liked that. That was
your
favorite part.
I'd say weak dialogue.
Not the favorite part. My favorite part was Ewan McGregor and Pierce Brosnan. Like, they're talking back and forth.
The banter?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Conversation.
Just
to give it a name.
Banter.
Put a label.
Conversation.
Identify it. Break it down.
Sure.
Where's this on the list? Somebody's missing.
Who's missing?
Somebody's always missing.
Somebody's missing. The professor.
Oh, that was Tom Wilkinson, wasn't it?
Is he on this list?
No.
How did you miss Tom Wilkinson?
He wasn't listed.
A major cast member.
He wasn't listed.
Well, he was a major part of the story as it unraveled.
What do you think, Simon?
The movie was fantastic. Mm-hmm. For a movie, I thought I was going to shoot myself, this looks like one of those adult dramas that just puts me to sleep within the first 20, 25 minutes.
For
those who haven't seen it, the plot is basically that Ewan McGregor is a writer, hasn't done anything in a while. He got contracted to ghostwrite and work with a former British Prime Minister for his memoirs. And along the way, there's some fishy stuff he finds.
And he has to go investigate.
The Prime Minister is actually indicted by the United Nations for war crimes.
Now, the part I didn't find necessary... And this isn't a huge spoiler for anyone watching. It just tells you a little piece of the part. I did not think it was necessary for Ewan McGregor to sleep with the former Prime Minister's wife.
Oh, I didn't see that part. I missed that.
Yeah, I just didn't think that was a necessary part of the story. Simon, do you agree?
Absolutely, 100%.
It added nothing to the storyline. Was, you know, not... detrimental to the way the story was going to end. So I think,
but
yeah.
Could you see the ending of this movie? You had no idea.
Oh, no. Clearly, I didn't.
I loved it. I had no idea.
And I
can't believe you missed this one.
Don't worry, I'm going to get around to seeing this, so go ahead.
Yeah. Zach in Ottawa, wherever you are, go rent this phenomenal
yeah,
movie.
I was thoroughly impressed because
it had depth, it had conversation, and everything I looked for in a movie.
It does, it really does. And when you, if you had read a review beforehand, you know, before you saw this movie, the reviews gave nothing away,
mm-hmm.
Which is good because sometimes, you know, they kind of spill the beans a little too soon.
Or my favorite, the trailer that gives away each and every salient plot point.
And then,
yes,
and then it clearly did not happen with this movie, which was great because, you know, as many films as you we all see, there's some that are very predictable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to be surprised. I don't want to be able to figure it out.
Right. Yeah, it had a nice twist to it. You knew somebody was
a little crooked.
Yeah, but who was the interesting twist?
Now this is just, and this is a question because of the love that was showered on Kim Cattrall by the Golden Razzies for her sterling work in Sex and the City 2. What was it like to see her, who is an actress for better or for worse, mostly associated with the Sex and the City part, to see her out of character and play
a
straight dramatic
character? She's so minor in this, she could disappear.
She was very.
Deb, you could have played Kim Cattrall's part just fine.
She was very dull.
Boring.
Yes, that's true.
She was basically Chris Brosnan's assistant.
Yeah,
she was the person who brought Ewan McGregor to the room where he would talk to Pierce Brosnan.
And that's it.
And he wanted to have, like, start up a conversation with her, and she wasn't up for it.
Yeah.
She was actually very cold and distant to him.
Constantly.
And they have a little thing at the end where, I don't want to give it away, but, you know, I like the movie. I really think that, Roman Polanski is actually probably one of the best living directors out there right now, but I think he's underrated.
Absolutely. I would put him on the
Even after the praise that was heaped on the Pianist, which brought in the Best Director Oscar?
I think he's still very underrated, particularly in North America. Mm-hmm. He's better received in Europe, where his scandalous past is known, but he's not reviled for it the way he is over here.
That's where I get killed when I said I have never seen The Pianist.
I haven't seen The Pianist either, actually.
What?
Yeah. So I guess that's on a future.
Add it to my list.
I think we're going to add it.
I do. Polanski puts out some great thrillers that tend to just sort of fly under the radar.
Yeah.
Chinatown didn't fly under the radar.
Well, there's a film he did a few years ago that I just love called The Ninth Gate.
With Johnny Depp.
One of the few Johnny Depp movies I've ever seen.
He plays a book detective.
I've seen almost every Johnny Depp. There's only a couple I've been seeing, and that's one of them.
Worth seeing. Maybe we'll put it on the list for a future episode.
Eli Wallach was in it, too.
Yes, Eli Wallach was also in the
film. Yeah, I just like proving Bob wrong,
so
I had to look
it
up.
That was actually one of those moments where you're watching the film and you're going, wait a minute, isn't that Eli Wallach?
Yeah.
Why is he here in this scene? All of a sudden, like, it was like a throwaway piece. It goes to an old man's house, and the guy says, I didn't see nothing, whatever.
Yeah, but you know he did.
Yeah, but that it was Eli Wallach, and you think he's more important than what he was.
Yes.
But it's like, that's kind of cool, though, because it's like a red herring, because it's like, is this important? Is this important, or is this just...
Well, I think people want to work with Polanski.
I would.
Eli's older, he probably just wasn't going to be up for a big part.
Let's be honest, Eli needs any work he can get right now. It's like wearing his board knife. They'll take those small bitty parts just to get
made
for
him.
Borg knife's not night two.
Yeah, he was great in
Red. But I'm saying Eli Wallach was decent in this too. I think for us film buffs or film fans or film zines or whatever we're supposed to be called.
Zine?
When Xenon? I have a new
Cinephiles?
That's the one I'm looking for, Cinephiles. Because I'm gotten close.
Z9?
I don't know, I'm making up my own language. Too much Star Trek.
Cinnabon, I can understand.
Cinnabon. Yes, I'm a Cinnabon.
I thought you were
going to
say Xenu. I was like, oh my god, the Scientologists have gotten to you.
Maybe that's what I was looking for, Xenu.
Oh, hanging out on Yonge Street a little too long.
I need John Smith to show up in his spacecraft.
Okay. So overall, I think we're giving.
I'm giving this a solid 4.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah, highly recommend it.
Highly recommend it. Zach, go ahead and see it.
You know, I rent it to a friend. I lent the movie to a friend last weekend. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought we were all here.
Who'd you lend it to?
Actually, I left it to Tiz.
Tiz doesn't speak English.
Tiziano speaks English.
You sure?
And I wasn't expecting him to like it, and he loved it.
Great. Well, that's good. Glad Tiz has some goals you didn't expect him to have.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I
do
a fight last time I saw him.
I think we're all recommending this film.
Absolutely.
And that Deborah should see it at some point.
That's fucked up.
So get it back from Tiz and I'll watch it.
I have it back. I got it back.
Alrighty.
Alright. Next movie on our list, you have seen.
Yeah.
You've actually seen a movie on this list, too.
A couple of movies, actually.
Good work.
Machete.
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 Yes.
Sorry. Directed by Robert Rodriguez and Ethan Menezes, starring Danny Trejo, Michelle, I'm not reading that.
Yes,
Michelle
you are.
Rodriguez, Jessica Alba, Cheech Marin, Robert De Niro, Steven Seagal, Jeff Fahey, Don Johnson, Lindsay Lohan, Daniel Sabara, and Tom Savini.
No, I have a question before we start it off.
Yeah.
Are those the real Lindsay Lohan goods?
I don't know. I don't know.
I was trying to figure that out watching this movie. I'm like, do they edit that? I need to know.
I'm not sure. I mean, they look pretty.
It looked good to me.
Yeah.
So I need some other opinions because that's one of these questions I had about this film.
And I am not surprised. Having not seen the movie, I'm just still not surprised by your question.
Anybody? Can somebody help me? Because if any of our viewers know, please email us at extrafeatures@yahoo.ca. Zach, you're 16. I need your help. Watch Machete. Email us at extrafeatures.ca and tell me. Send me 100 emails. I'll read them all on air.
I'm 16. Is this not a restricted movie?
His parents are going to afford
it.
Okay.
He's seen Taxi Driver. He's good.
Yeah. So, let's talk Machete.
All right, you can kick it off.
Bob, go ahead.
No, let Debbie kick it
off. Okay, Deb, kick it off.
All right, now, as everybody knows, this movie is based on one of the absolutely spectacular fake trailers.
Best fake trailer I've ever seen.
Yes, that ran before the Nouveau double feature that was Grindhouse, the Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez double feature. And they got a bunch of directors together to create fake Grindhouse Z-grade trailers. And
not Z-grade.
Oh, no. This was just all victory all the way through. And it's got everything. It's got lots of knives, lots of violence, lots of beautiful women in various states of dress and undress, lots of violence. I mean, it was just 2 minutes of, like, every money shot you could possibly imagine.
I wanted to see Machete the second after I saw it. I'm like,
oh,
my thing, Machete.
I wanted to see it so badly.
After I'd sit through those two bad Grindhouse movies, I wanted to see Machete. Looks like my kind of movie.
Oh, well, it's definitely my kind of movie. I loved it.
So did I.
Bob?
Well, it's actually not my kind of movie, but I did like it.
Back up the bus.
Oh, hold on. Wait.
Okay.
Wait, let me finish before you go to that, because I started off. Not like
that's what I heard.
Then I got into it and I started enjoying it because I thought the main character Danny Trejo, he looks familiar, and then I found out why when I checked IMDb, because yes, he plays the same character name in the Spy Kids movie because he's in that movie.
He doesn't play Machete.
No, but it's the same name. But I thought he looked familiar.
What's the same name?
What's his character name in Spy Kids?
In Spy Kids, his name is Machete. I looked it up.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Go ahead.
Let's continue on.
Spy Kids, you can look it up all you want. But I started off, like, watching the movie, I thought, what did Simon give me now? But then I started watching, and I thought, not bad. I'm getting to like this character. And then I thought, I didn't recognize Robert De Niro at first, but then I thought, okay.
You didn't recognize Robert De Niro?
Not at first. He was wearing a hat covering his face.
He was wearing a hat?
Yeah.
That was enough? Man.
Bob is right. His name is Machete.
Thank you. I will take my bows now. But I started watching the thing and I thought, okay, this is... who was it? Okay. Jessica Alba.
As the INS agent.
Yes.
Oh, could somebody take away her actor card?
But I didn't think she was that bad. And then I looked up and she's getting a Razzie Award for this and four other movies.
No, Jessica Alba's purpose in life is to wear slinky outfits and... look hot. That's basically her reason for existing.
She wasn't that bad in the INS role.
In the Blu-ray, there were extra features, and there were a whole bunch of deleted scenes where actually Jessica Alba's character had a twin sister who was a drunken drug addict. And she was hanging around the apartment and sleeping with her coworkers and stuff like that.
And
it was
high on cough syrup.
High on cough syrup, yeah.
Wow.
And she eventually gets killed. It was actually quite entertaining. She was good in that role.
What role?
The drunken twin sister.
That was excised from the release copy. Yeah.
Okay, now you're saying that, okay, you knew what I was going to say, but I said, like, you knew that I was going to say it wasn't my type of movie, and I started hating it, and you said... And you were surprised when I said I liked it. I thought we were going for a triple threat here because I was watching Machete, I was watching Catfish. No, actually, Catfish wasn't that bad. Well, babies, okay. But I thought, okay, we're going for three there. But the two out of the three were pretty good.
I just love the beginning of this movie when he busts in as the cop and starts taking everybody out and it gets
perfect. Where was that cell phone?
Yeah, where was that
cell phone? I
thought the movie was fun. I don't think there's much to say. If you're into
this, I never thought I'd say this, but I loved Steven Seagal in this movie.
He was great.
It was amazing.
I thought De Niro was good in this, killing the people coming over the border.
John
Johnson.
And of course,
wasn't John
and
Johnson
Michelle Rodriguez.
TV and movies for a while, right? Now, they're saying, when I was going through IMDb for this,
introducing
John.
It was a joke.
It was a joke. Okay. Funny. I missed the joke.
I think we all did.
But we also have to give, and of course, Michelle Rodriguez as basically a comic book character come to life.
Come on, she makes good tacos.
Yes, she does, with many different varieties of homemade salsa. But let's face it, she was... Like, the last scene where she's got the eye patch on and, like, fighting evil in the...
I love this movie.
It was wonderful.
Movie
like,
was
I loved it. It was wonderful, cheesy goodness.
It was cheesy.
Did you know that there's actually a Marvel Comics character called Machete?
Yes. I have his first appearance.
He's the Captain America villain.
Yeah.
Really?
I have all the Captain Americas.
Did not know that.
Yep, he teamed up with Baron Zemo and Batroc the Z-Leaper. During the Bloodstone Hunt. Anyway, this was much better than the Bloodstone Hunt.
Oh, that was one bad six issues.
Diamondback's hair just totally ruined the Bloodstone Hunt for me. So
who's hair?
Diamondback. It was during the pink phase.
Oh, Diamondback. That was a nice costume, though.
She did have a nice costume.
Yes, but throwing diamonds? Really? Improbable weaponry.
Yeah.
Listen.
Everybody kept them.
But, and also... We also have to discuss the sterling film work of Cheech Marin in this movie.
He's always good.
Oh, I know, but I mean, it's just wonderful to see him, you know, in such a great genre role where he gets to be a badass.
But he was a badass in Desperado.
But again, though, this is a movie that was like I'm amazed that he did such a good job in taking that little 2.5 minute trailer and turning it into.
But he's Robert Rodriguez.
That is
you
true.
Did you not see El Mariachi?
Yes, I did see El Mariachi.
So there you go. I mean, this is just El Mariachi with Machete, with different things thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, similar film style, similar pacing. I'm not saying they're the same film, but I'm saying all those aspects are in El Mariachi we see in Machete.
But I mean, I loved Planet Terror.
See, I didn't.
You didn't love Planet Terror?
I thought it was better than the Quentin movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't love it. I thought it was decent.
All right, Machete, Bob, thumbs up or down?
Thumbs up.
Simon?
Up.
Oh.
Deborah?
Thumbs up, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so me too.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Next movie.
Oh, I like the movie. Write that down, Zach.
The Green Hornet, directed by Michel Gondry.
Oh.
Starring Seth Rogen, Jay Chou, Christoph Waltz. Cameron Diaz, Tom Wilkinson, Edward Furlong, Edward James, Olmos, not Olmos, and Jill Remez.
He's missing somebody.
Who's he missing?
James Franco. Best cameo in a movie all year.
So who saw this one?
I did.
No, Bob didn't?
Not I.
Deborah and I went and saw it in 3D.
Unfortunately, it's like...
Well, actually, there wasn't that much 3D, so thank God for that.
Oh, wasn't there?
No, it was like just at the end, there's a 3D Hornet that comes out at you, and then the logo and the music.
Yeah, like, the end credits are in 3D.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
Oh, wow. No, I
saw Clash of... an extra $5.
Was it worse than Clash of Titans in 3D?
Well, it was really close if it's not as bad.
With the heads that don't fit on the bodies? There are some... You didn't see... I saw Clash of Titans.
No, we saw Clash of the Titans. We did.
Okay, you know when they do the baby shot right at the beginning on the boat?
Yep.
And it's out of focus?
Mm-hmm.
That was it for me. Like, it's out of focus. And it just gets worse. You can see the 3D. Every time they do it, you're like, that's out of focus. That was out of focus. It's driving me insane. If things didn't, like, cut together correctly.
That's what drove you insane?
Well, the movie was horrible, too, but...
I know. It's like, I got vaguely nauseous every time I saw Liam Neeson's weird kind of... What was... the weird glowy armor he had on.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, that was painful.
It was kind of like watching Seth Rogen act through this movie.
Yes, like, who fights crime in a cardigan sweater? He was wearing a button-up cardigan sweater.
So he was trying to act. That was my problem.
So he was basically Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, yes. Pretty much. No, actually, I would have paid to see Mr. Rogers kick the crap out of crime. That would have been amazing.
I would say you paid the crap out of Seth Rogen.
All right, so this film, which is sort of based on the TV show and the pulp character, more the TV show than the pulp character.
Yeah, you're correct. I agree with you.
Basically, son of the newspaper magnate who dies.
Tom Wilkinson dies.
Tom Wilkinson again.
That's the best.
He is.
Him and Jim Broadbent should hang out.
Well,
same place.
So, Seth has to take over the empire.
Yeah, because he's a party animal that he's going through.
Yeah, and he's got this...
But he has great lines. Like
the
Kato.
Guy that makes the coffee, yeah. Kato... is actually a super crime-fighting genius technician.
Right, he is.
Who just completely remakes cars and does all this fun stuff. Let me finish.
I was just going to say, Seth Rogen sort of is like, it's like the presidency of George W. Bush if George W. Bush decided to go and fight crime.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess that would.
Oh, it's really so bad. Do you not talk with this movie?
It was, you know what? If you took Seth Rogen out of the film, it was actually probably okay.
So, okay.
Oh, yeah. If you took Seth Rogen out, I think I might have liked it.
Because the guy that played Kato was good.
He was fine.
Okay, for a person who hasn't seen it.
Don't.
Okay, that was
especially in 3D.
That was not my question. My question
3D?
Was who would have been a better choice for that character?
James Marsden.
Anybody.
Anybody.
Anybody. Like,
James Marsden
from Sesame Street could have played it better.
Yeah, actually, James Marsden would have played that
well. Well, you asked me to pick. James Marsden would have been my pick.
Like a bland Anglo-Saxon.
James Marsden.
Non-humorous.
James Marsden.
Yeah.
Actually, Jesse Eisenberg would have been a cool Green Hornet.
No. You could not see him hitting anybody successfully.
That's why he's got the gas gun. He doesn't have to hit
anybody. I couldn't see Seth Rogen hitting anybody.
No, that's true. But he did beef up a bit for the role.
But and the other thing is that he lost all, you know, there was a very publicized how he, you know, totally underwent a makeover and lost... a lot of weight.
He needed to.
But the fact is that he just looks...
doughy.
But he just looks so ordinary. Like, there's absolutely nothing memorable about
too much cold dairy product there, are there?
When was supposed to go out in the summer?
Last year.
And when did it get dumped? January, February?
Yeah, January.
The Wasteland.
There's a reason for that.
Oh, yeah. They don't normally dump films out in January.
This movie
sucks. They made money.
Of course it was going to make money, because it was an action movie, and Jason Statham didn't have a movie that week.
Yeah, exactly. He's got one every other week.
Aww.
He's the new Michael Caine.
Oh, I can't give that man awards, because those aren't movies.
All right, so...
It's just crap.
Avoid Green Hornet.
Oh, avoid it. Like, what great lines? I finally figured out my dad was trying to do. Like, really, Seth? That's the best way we can deliver that line? Come on, Kato. You make it. Where's that guy that made the coffee? I liked him. Hire him back. Well, really? This is in the script?
Well, the thing about the Green Hornet is that he's supposed to be vaguely heroic, and Rogen's character just served no purpose.
Like, neither did a car chase or a newspaper building.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Really? On the elevator?
And Cameron Diaz was just wasted in this movie.
She's wasted in every movie. She can't act. She needs to go away. go away.
I'm trying to wrap this one up.
No, we're not wrapping this up. Yeah, I'm not done. I want to discuss. Hey, he fires her. Then he tries to hire her back. Really?
And they both hit on her?
Yeah. Like, what? Really? Awful writing. Awful. 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 Wicked. We lost Karen. Excellent. Let's move along with Tron Legacy. All
right.
I was just taking Tron a Legacy. Cat nap.
Oh, I thought
directed really by
helping
Joseph.
Bob out with his problem.
Tron Legacy.
What?
Starring Dobby.
Dobby's in this?
Yes, he is. In 3D.
I didn't see him.
Yeah.
Did you see this in 3D too?
Directed by Joseph Kosinski, I did. Starring Jeff Bridges, Garrett Hedlund, Olivia Wilde, Bruce Boxleitner, Bo Garrett, Michael Sheen, James Frain. James Frain, yeah, I forgot about that. Sarinda Swan, Yaya DaCosta.
Yaya?
Elizabeth.
Who the F is Yaya DaCosta? Why are you doing this like cut and paste the IMDb on these sheets? No. They should take like four people that we've all heard of.
What's the name of the dude that was in?
I take four people we all heard of, and then you.
He was in Frost Nixon.
Have you ever heard of Yaya DaCosta?
No.
You know what? Just to prove my point, what you guys are discussing, Tron, I'm going to look up Yaya DaCosta. You do that.
So
who saw
Tron Legacy?
I did.
Nope. I did.
Nope.
No.
Alright, I saw it in 3D.
And are you a better person for it?
No, you know what? To be honest, why was this movie in 3D?
Well, I'm asking you. I didn't see it in 3D, so I don't know.
With black backgrounds and brightly colored foregrounds, like, it's already got a sort of a 3D effect to it. So when you put on the glasses, it doesn't make it any better or any worse. I actually thought it was pretty lame. As far as 3D movies.
Oh, my God. I've seen three of Yaya DaCosta's movies.
Really?
And not even really.
Tell us, what else has
what
she been
Yaya done?
She has done Kids Are Alright, playing Tanya.
The Divine Secret.
She was in The
Yaya
Messengers, which I've seen.
What one was that, sorry?
Messengers.
Messengers, okay.
And Tron Legacy. There's three movies I've seen.
How's your name spelled?
Yaya DaCosta. Exactly.
So it's not like Yaya. Really?
I looked
That's
her up.
Terrifying.
I am shocked. Zach, make sure you go out and see some Yaya DaCosta movies this week.
But not The Kids Are All Right.
Oh, God, no. No, don't see The Kids Are All Right.
We don't want to warp.
And I can't recommend Tron Legacy to you either, because it's kind of just a remake, no. I thought, of Tron.
It was pretty much a remake of Tron.
Like, was there anything new in this movie?
It was sort of a sequel, because Jeff Bridges' character has shown development since the previous one.
Yeah, and now they had his son playing the exact role.
The exact same thing.
There's no difference. You could take the first movie, never show it to anybody, and go, look, this is Tron. They would believe you.
What I found funny about it was there's a scene at the beginning where they have the board of directors for the company.
That was horrible.
And sitting at the table is the guy that plays the Scarecrow in the Batman.
Cillian Murphy is there.
Cillian Murphy.
For like 2 seconds.
Why are you in this movie?
He's just there.
And you can tell it's totally to set it up for a third movie.
Yeah.
They're really counting on this.
Because it's already been greenlighted.
Yeah.
They're making the third.
So, yeah, I'm sure he'll be in that, but anyway, lame. This was not a good...
It's a remake of Tron. If you've seen Tron, you've seen
this. Let's review the original Tron. Who has seen the original Tron?
I did.
Well, we can break this down. Let's break this movie down. We can do the original Tron, and we'll do it at the same time.
I know, we'll do it at the same time.
Okay, they start off, he gets sucked in the computer, his son gets sucked in the computer.
Right.
We're good. So we're on Tron 1 still.
Right. They're even in an arcade at both
scenes.
Yeah.
And then we go into a disc scene.
Yes.
We go to a disc scene, the first one.
Yes.
And let's not forget the light bikes.
They have light bikes. Light cycles in this.
Although
or a
they
car.
Didn't strip Jeff Bridges in the first one.
Oh, did they?
And put him in a costume.
But
he just sort of appeared in a costume in the first movie, and I kind of like that better.
See, what I liked about the first one is that the lighting effect, it looked freaky.
It looked good,
different.
But
yeah.
It was different for the time. I thought the first movie sucked.
Well, the first Tron is probably the dullest movie that one
Nothing
can ever see.
Nothing happens. You
yeah.
could take a walk down Yonge Street and have more excitement on a Sunday
yeah.
afternoon at 3 o'clock in the morning than you do in Tron.
I think that's what
that's it. You're just looking out for the visuals.
Yeah.
But Tron 2, all they did was take Tron 1 and add action into it.
My favorite part is they crash to the ground in this elevator, and they're lying there, and they're like, they don't know how they're going to get
the disc back and defeat the evil guy.
Yeah. The master control
and,
program?
And Jeff Bridges looks over and says, oh, look, there's a thing that's going to take us right to where we need to go.
Yeah.
So they walk 10 feet and get on it, and they take this thing right to the villain's headquarters.
They did.
Because it's on a train track going right to his, you know, it was that poorly written.
Poorly written.
Anyway, it was not
good. Why didn't they just make a Tron the remake?
Why didn't they just not do it?
Well, I agree with you. I thought Olivia Wilde wasted. So basically, she's Tron.
In a sense, yeah. Well, the first Tron, you don't even see him.
Oh, he's there.
He's there, but he's been corrupted.
He's been corrupted and then
he redeems himself. So that in the third film, I assume he could come back.
He could. Michael Sheen was good in this, I thought, though.
No, I thought Michael Sheen was terribly overacted.
He
was like David Bowie.
That's what I thought he was.
David Bowie's club.
Are we talking David Bowie in Labyrinth?
Oh, don't knock. You're in trouble if we knock in Labyrinth here.
No, we're just talking about degrees of overacting.
I'm talking about, like, Spiders from Mars.
Degrees of overacting. Ed Wood.
All right. Well, it's time for Bob's favorite part of the show.
No, we're not done. We're done with Ron.
Yeah, we're done.
Like,
it sort of leads right into...
Nobody liked this.
No, I'm not recommending neither film.
What can we recommend about either of these movies? They both suck.
The graphics are interesting.
They're the same movie.
You know, the single most fun about the Tron Legacy movie was the fact that they had a really cool exhibit at Fan Expo. The giant recognizer vehicle. That was pretty awesome.
The coolest thing, awesome thing was, I had canceled my buddy to see this in IMAX. So I couldn't go. It saved me $22.
And just that you had all thing. Those hours of your life that you could use for, like, productive things.
Watching other crappy movies.
Yeah, like watching movie Kevin recommended to me.
All right, it's time to open the vault.
Hey, Fred, I think we should open the door now.
Yeah, Bon.
Bonnie!
What's
going on?
Gee, Yogi, I don't think the Ranger's going to like this.
Hey, boo-boo.
I guess I don't need a quote section for this show.
I'll cut it off. All right, first movie in the video vault this week is Tron, but we've already done it.
So we will not go.
Wow, really, already? Okay, we talk a lot. We're going to have to cut. All right, so the first movie is Tron. Lost in Space,
woo!
Directed by Stephen Hopkins, starring Heather Graham, William Hurt, Gary Oldman, Mimi Rogers, Matt LeBlanc, Lacey Chabert, Jack Johnson, Jared Harris, Lanil James, Goddard from the original series, Martha Kristen from the original series, June Lockhart, Angela Cartwright, and Dick Tufeld, the robot voice from the original series. Wow, Lost in Space, the remake.
I saw this years ago, but I don't really remember too much about
it. I'll fill you in.
Black leather outfits were reminiscent of what the X-Men wore in their movie film.
I liked this movie up until the end. I thought it fell completely apart in the last half an hour, 20 minutes maybe.
I like this movie until the yellow computer-generated monkey shows up.
Glarp.
Is that in the last half an hour? Like, right?
No, it's in the last hour. Or
so. No, I didn't mind that. It's right up until the time.
I liked the whole thing.
Really? The time bubble part?
The time stuff. Time, you know.
That was dumb.
Karen, did you see this?
No, I'm afraid I didn't. The fact that Matt LeBlanc was in it kind of turned me off.
Well, he likes his monkey.
He's not like he is in the Friends series.
Yes, he is.
No, he isn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, after the magnificence that was Ed, I just don't think he could top of himself.
Well, the only thing good he did was Friends. It's all downhill from there.
Friends wasn't good.
He should be in porn.
No, he's got gray hair now. No, he's an old man.
He's still rented.
No.
Okay. He could actually do the Friends porn.
He could.
As Joey.
Maybe it's in the Simpsons one.
Maybe. I don't know. I you know what? I remember seeing this when the film came out. When it came out years ago, 1999. So this predates X-Men by about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or a year.
Gary Oldman was okay.
Okay, back to the ending. Did you like the ending?
No, I thought the ending was terrible.
Did it make any sense?
No, all that stuff with time warps and stuff is...
And his son hating him, and Gary Oldman got bit by the spider, then turned into the spider, killed half of the Lawson Space crew.
It's like, with these movies, it's all set up, and then they don't know what to do with it. It's like Stripes. This movie was the science fiction equivalent of Stripes.
So in other words, they get them to boot camp, but they don't know what to do with them afterwards.
They got in the RV, and then it's just, it's dumb.
Are we there yet?
We're 10 and 1 for kicking ass.
Yeah. yeah, what can you say about this? Bob, what can you say about this?
Well, I seem to have enjoyed it more than you two did.
Graham, miscast.
Really?
I thought she was totally fine.
Lacey Chabert kind of gets on my nerves.
Yeah, it's her voice.
Yeah. That's the voice. She doesn't actually sound like that in real life, though.
I think they
she's
wanted
an adult
to,
now.
Yes.
But they also, I think, probably wanted to do her Party of Five girl. Shtick back when that was still, you know, popular.
Can't say I watched that either.
Yeah, but that's just it. Party of Five was one of those shows that when it was popular, you couldn't ignore it, even
don't
if you wanted to ignore
care.
It.
See, I'd like to go back and revisit that show. You know, it's got Racer X. It's got... it's got the Ghost Whisperer.
It's got Double Dragon to it.
Yeah, there you go. It's good stuff.
No, thank you.
Jennifer
Love Hewitt's in Party of Five.
Yeah, she's a girlfriend.
Yeah, she was
Bailey's girlfriend.
Yeah. And she got her own series that crashed and burned.
Thank
Ghost
God.
Whisper.
Yes.
Oh.
No,
well, Ghost Whisperer's been on.
Okay.
No. It was called Time of Your Life.
Yes.
Missed it.
That was before Ghost Whisperer.
Whoops.
Before.
Yes.
Okay. So, Bob liked it. Simon
yes.
did not.
Oh, awful movie.
I think it's half
I have to like it. I own it.
I tried to like it. Half the movie. I agree with them.
I think my problem with the Lost in Space movie was, why did that movie need to exist? Because the original was kind of campy and silly and... But they weren't, it was like they weren't really sure to do it as a straight sci-fi or, like, I mean, it's like Star Trek. I mean, Star Trek was always straight adventure, science fiction adventure. It was like that in the 60s, and it was like that in the movies, and it was like that in all the other series they did. Like, they've always stayed true to that. But they were looking, I think they were searching for a tone, and they never really found it.
I don't know, I think Star Trek has done a lot of camp in the movies and later ones.
But there's always that underlying. What?
Simon is not a Star Trek fan.
I like Star Trek.
So do I. We have a Simon's non-Star Trek at this time.
Okay. Episode 26 for our listeners. You can hear any comments you want to hear on Star Trek.
Right. Right. So don't bother with this movie.
What? Wait. Whoa. Don't bother with this one. Oh, okay.
Next movie on the list. Has everyone seen Roman Holiday?
Yes.
All
right. So let's do around the room. Karen, you haven't had a chance to walk.
Yeah, I took a little nap there.
Yeah.
I like this movie. I like movies from this era.
Why don't you tell us who's in it?
All right. In the original, directed by William Wyler, we have Audrey Hepburn, Gregory Peck, Eddie Albert, Margaret Rawlings, and Harcourt Williams. Again, from this era, very typical of the kind of movies that were being made. Like, nothing obviously dramatic happened, but I just think it was a really sweet film. And Audrey Hepburn...
it's her first movie.
And it made her. It truly made her. And
she won Best Actress for this part.
Oh, I'd forgotten that.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that. But I did like it. I mean, and well, granted, I like everything Gregory Peck has done, so that's a given that... You know, his name's on it. I'm going to watch it.
One thing I really found amazing about this movie is that they were brave enough to do the ending that they did. That's
I absolutely will back you up 100%. You can't tell me one person watching that movie thought that was the ending.
Yeah.
There was no way that was going to be the ending because they didn't do movies like that back then.
Where,
good
like,
point.
Because, and... the title really only becomes clear at the end of the movie when you realize that he was on holiday as much as she was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because in real life, any reporter then or now who has a runaway princess and like hanging out with him, my God, that's going straight on.
But that's a sign of the times nowadays. We'd never have seen that.
But
back
even
then.
In the 50s, like you know, royals, like, you know, the romantic doings of royals was hot stuff. And
but not broadcast the way it was. I mean, I'm not saying there were not scandals. Yes, there were. But it certainly wasn't, they did not have the ability to broadcast it across the world like they do now, obviously. But I think there was more respect given to people and their private lives.
And having said that, though, I still think this movie was just incredibly brave to say,
mm-hmm.
you know what, there is no way that we can write a convincing ending that involves her throwing away her royal position to go be a reporter's wife.
Right.
And but I liked that.
It also, I thought it was shot very beautifully in and around.
On location.
Wonderful.
You know, the scenes when they're on the scooter, and I just thought that...
The Mouth of Truth?
That was very, very well done. Bob, have you seen this film?
Yes, I have. What? I usually like Audrey Hepburn movies, but this one sort of was slower for me. Don't look at me that way. You asked for my opinion. I'm giving it to you. I normally like her in movies, but this one was sort of
You didn't like this movie?
Let's move along.
Well, not that I didn't like it.
Oh, my God. This movie had action.
Whatever.
It had romance.
It had comedy.
It was comedy.
I saw the comedy. I saw the romance.
It was funny. I thought it was great. I never had a point I thought was lagging.
It was okay.
Oh, no.
It's a classic.
And Dobby is right.
It's fabulous. Fabulous movie.
Yeah, like Audrey whacked some guy over the head with a guitar. This is years before, you know, Quick Draw McGraw refined that to an art form.
Yes.
I love this movie, Bob. I would recommend it to anyone.
I just didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Jen would probably disagree.
I'd put Mamma Mia on for you then. So you'd enjoy romantic comedy.
Oh, God.
If they made more romantic comedies, I think they'd actually watch them.
They can't.
Absolutely.
They can make more romantic. It's a different time period. They don't make movies like
right.
this anymore.
Let's go to a romantic comedy, and made a little bit more recently. Shakespeare in Love. Directed by John Madden. Gwyneth Paltrow is in it. Ben Affleck. Jeffrey Rush. Tom Wilkinson. Joseph Fiennes. Judi Dench. Tim McMullen. Stephen O'Donnell. Patrick Barlow. And... Did we say Ben Affleck?
No,
Rupert Everett's in it,
Where did you say Ben Affleck?
Yeah, it's in
he's
out
on
there.
The other page.
He's on there.
Of course he is.
Karen.
Simon, or Karen, what do you think? Science, Shakespeare in Love.
I loved the movie. Again, for a lot of different reasons. However, I do not think it was as Oscar-worthy for the prizes it won. I think costuming, obviously, beautiful. I did like the storyline because, again, it had a comedic aspect to it. It has an awesome cast.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome cast.
Affleck is awesome.
No, Jeffrey Rush is awesome.
I'll give you that.
And Judi Dench
is awesome.
For
you
8 minutes.
I would say her Oscar is definitely worthy because she stole that scene she was in.
I would have liked to have seen more of the Queen Elizabeth character.
I would have, too. I really would have. But I do not think, you know, as good as Gwyneth Paltrow was in the movie, like, I mean, it worked. I do not think it was an Oscar-worthy role when you consider she was up against Cate Blanchett in Elizabeth.
Oh,
which was
Cate
just,
Blanchett was robbed that
she
year.
She was definitely robbed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like,
definitely.
I think I'm going to go with Karen on liking the movie. As she said, good costumes, good, great cast.
Unknown cast at the time.
Well, unknown, but...
Very like, unknown.
Very unknown,
who
maybe,
Jeffrey
but,
Rush was, really.
No.
Yeah, that was after Shine.
Yeah.
That
was
after
he
won an Oscar for Shine.
And Ben
okay.
Affleck was
which
just
which you have not seen yet.
Neither
have
I.
Bill Hunting.
Jeffrey Rush was in
no,
Elizabeth
at the
as
time
well.
The
he had to play a very different part. He was a spy master in Elizabeth.
He was.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Is he recognizable, though, to the everyday audience? I know it was.
These
so,
days, for sure.
For these right. days now, but
I
back
at
then.
At that time, he was.
I mean, Ben Affleck's the big pretty. Joseph Fiennes, nobody knows who he is. He still hasn't found an acting career since.
But again, like, this was definitely the role of Gwyneth Paltrow's career. I don't think she did anything before, or and certainly nothing after.
See, I like
ever
Proof.
Come close to this.
I
love Proof. Love Proof.
But
very
Proof,
underrated
but
movie.
But Proof was one of those movies that sort of slid under the radar.
Nobody saw Proof.
Yeah.
Other than me.
Like, this was a movie that really hit mass consciousness in a way that I don't think any of her parts have since.
Well, I think it was a movie that actually appealed to men and women, because, you know, yes, there was a romantic aspect to it, but there was, well, there was a comedic aspect as well as the romantic aspect of the relationship. So I think it kind of had a cross. I think Kevin's in a coma. Kevin?
No, sorry, I'm yes. just listening.
Well, the thing is that the parts I actually liked best in this movie were sort of like the behind the scenes of the theater world. You know,
yes, those
scamming
I
for money,
those
you know,
were good.
Trying to get things cast when the boy actor's voice dropped. I thought that all that backstage stuff was fabulous. Yeah.
My favorite part was Shakespeare writing plays for the other guy at St. Knight's writing this one.
Yeah,
I thought that part
like
was
some
good.
Of those lines are the greatest. Like, he starts saying the show must, and then the other, and then
yeah.
go on.
Yeah.
And then when is it? The next day, Gwyneth Paltrow is coming out and said something about I forget what she says. It's a new day or
new
something.
Day.
A new day. I love the lines.
Some of them I thought I liked. Some of them really. I didn't like this movie. I know I'm going to get.
Why am I not surprised?
That's just not my thing.
Did you like this film? What do you think?
I thought it was kind of dull. And
the parts
I can't
that I liked, and the parts that I didn't like. I will say this, though. I really liked the ending.
I would have taken Elizabeth for Best Picture over this any day.
Oh, no, absolutely. I agree with
and
that.
And this won Best Picture, but
won
over
Best
Elizabeth?
And won Best Actress. And supporting Actress.
But it won Best Picture over Saving Private Ryan.
Which I've never seen.
Sacrilege.
No!
Please don't email me and get mad at me.
No, but
what
was right.
You
said.
I have it written at home here.
But why is Shakespeare in the
you're running them down, too.
Oh, story for date night now.
Was that Harvey Weinstein, actually, who was then of Miramax, actually went out and really campaigned hard
for this
movie.
Everything,
but this was the first time that everybody assumed that Saving Private Ryan was going to take Best Picture. And Harvey Weinstein campaigned so skillfully that he got the votes.
But you could just say that that's how political Hollywood is that you don't want to piss off Harvey Weinstein.
But this was the movie that...
Versus giving Saving Private Ryan the accolade it deserved.
But again, this was the first time that people were like, oh my God, this is what good lobbying will get you. And I don't think Oscars have been the same since.
Whether
for good or bad, I don't know. That's an open question.
Well, I love this movie. I think it's a perfect movie. I love it from beginning. Beginning to end. I love every bit about it. I love the characters. I love the acting choices. I like the bits, the comedy. I like the historical asides.
You love historical film.
I really like historical films. I love Elizabeth. It's one of my favorite.
And I've never seen it. Wasn't for you.
But do you think that Elizabeth is better than this movie?
Yes,
I do.
I think everybody does. Elizabeth is slow too, though, in the middle.
No, I don't, because Elizabeth has a few problems. It's done almost like a gangster pick.
Absolutely.
I love Elizabeth. It is one of my favorite historical films. But there's a lot of skill and craft in Shakespeare in Love that makes it flawless. I think it's just a seamless piece. While Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Is a bit disjointed in parts.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Right, and there's some dry moments in it. I like this film. I don't think it should have won Best Picture. I think Saving Private Ryan is a far superior film.
So, speaking of dry moments, can we move on to The Ice Pirates?
The Ice Pirates, directed by Stephen Raffaele. Or is it Raffaele? Raffaele. Starring Mary Crosby, Robert Urich, Angelica Houston, Ron Perlman, John Carradine, Michael D. Roberts, Bruce Vilanch. Bob, you just saw this recently. What did you think of The Ice Pirates?
I think it was painful.
It was awful.
Okay, I've never actually heard of this movie. What is it about?
Don't
say.
It's about Ice Pirates.
It's about 2.5 hours of your life. You can't get back.
It wasn't that long. It was an hour.
So Bob, share this with me. Why is this such a terrible movie?
Nobody can act in it.
Nobody. Robert Urich.
I liked him from Soap, and I liked him from Vegas. But this?
Ron Perlman?
Ron Perlman.
A very early part for Ron Perlman.
Trying to watch Mary Crosby act is like, really? I don't know if it's so much
worst of all, you've got a movie with Bruce Vilanch in it.
The guy
why?
Bruce Vilanch.
After?
Yeah, script doctor.
The guy who writes for the Oscars?
That's it. It's all about the... It is just it's bad.
I think I watched this, and I watched...
The dialogue in the movie?
Some other pile of crap.
Debbie to watch this so she can quote the dialogue back to us.
Oh, man.
Debbie, this is awful.
Debbie or Dobby?
But why are they ice pirates? Like, is this a movie about meth?
Is this about water?
Or ice?
Yes, it's about water.
It's due to the pirates.
But I'm starting to watch this. It's an outer space. I'm watching the ship, and I'm going, I can almost see the fire.
You know what I stumbled on this movie?
What?
Because I was looking for pirates.
Yeah.
The pirate movie. And I thought you wrote it down wrong.
Oh.
I was the ice pirate. So I watched this, and then I found pirates afterwards.
This is a sort of in that post-Star Wars.
Oh, it tries to be Star Wars.
This was in the 70s, wasn't it?
And when they do the time travel part. That was the only good part of the movie, the time travel thing. He becomes an adult Robert Urich
while they're, you know,
and beats all the other guys for them.
Yeah.
And then comes back and they're like, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
You know? They all get old, but Robert Urich's son's young, so he kicks everybody's ass and wins the fight for them against the evil empire trying to catch them.
And then they wake up back in time.
Because they went to the time coordinate or something. They found the special coordinates to do the jump.
Yes.
That was it. Oh, my God. This was
so they went to a time warp?
They went to the time warp.
The time warp again.
Don't watch it. Save your brain cells. Watch the next one. We haven't got any left because the three of us watched it.
Yay!
Directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring Christopher Lloyd, Bob Hoskins, Joanna Cassidy, Joel Silver, Alan Tilvin, and the voices of Charles Fleischer.
I'm not reading all that. Whatever.
Read it.
Charles Fleischer, Kathleen Tierney, SWK, Bill Blank, Mae Questel as Betty Boop, Tony Anselmo for Donald Duck, June Foray, David L. Landert, Pat Mutrum, Jim Cummins, Jim Gallant, Irving,
and Frank Welker.
Jessica
Sainz,
Frank Welker.
And for the people out there, Mae Questel's in Christmas Vacation.
Yes, she is.
There you go, yes.
She's in Christmas Vacation.
Is she the grandmother?
She's the grandmother in Christmas Vacation. So if you know what Betty Boop sounds like, she sounds exactly like Betty Boop.
Oh, yeah, I think we've all
seen Karen, that go ahead.
Well, having not seen it recently,
I'm going back many years.
I didn't like it upon first viewing. Which is rare for me because I love things that have animation.
As evidenced by
the Happy to be Grumpy sweatshirt that I am wearing.
Yeah. And last podcast, Tinkerbell hoodie.
Yes, Tinkerbell hoodie. One of many. Yes, no, my head is still not a tripod. But upon watching it again a few years after that, I loved it. So maybe it was the mood I was in. You know, I don't know what it was.
Grumpy?
I'm grumpy every day.
We know.
Yeah.
For six days, we know.
I love this movie. This movie is dear to my heart.
Yep. I have a question for Dev. Do you find this movie doesn't fall apart ever? I have a vague problem with this movie in the middle.
Okay, what's your problem with the movie in the middle?
It gets boring. Like, I don't find Roger boring. I find Bob Hoskins really doesn't do any work for a good half an hour in this movie.
I think that was my problem, that there was this dragginess.
It is a big drag. You could nod off for half an hour in the middle of this and not miss anything.
I guess.
And you know exactly the part I'm talking about is when right before Acme dies, and they have that little fun scene, and then it sort of drops off when he gets drunk again and goes through that whole period. I'm just like, really? And then there's no detective work in this movie until the end. And it's so obvious the end of this movie, rewatching it when I was like 12 or 13 when I first saw it, I didn't get it. Second time through, I'm like, I know the ending. You can see the ending so easily.
But you know what I thought was so incredible about this movie was that for the first time, like, because usually you think of cartoons, you think of like the Warner Brothers roster, you know.
And they're all together? Happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the Disney characters. What I liked was the notion that there was a universe where they all coexisted.
I thought that was fun.
That was
brilliant.
I did like that.
And I liked that that was the gag that sustained the movie for me because, you know, the idea that, you know, Toons go to work like the rest of us. And the idea that they all have to live in basically a ghetto neighborhood. Well, yeah, they have to live in Toontown.
This is a good movie. Bob, what do you think?
That's it? So I understand.
I love it. I like this movie. What am I going to say?
Oh, don't support
the classic. Loved it.
Right, let's back this up again. Oh. Another problem I have. Him killing the hyenas is a horrible dance. To make them laugh.
What can they say?
That is one thing, though, is that now, I mean, now forever after, whenever I see a certain appetizer, I just have to say, oh my god, it's Dip!
It's not Dip, it's Dip.
Oh my god, it's Dip! No, because it's ridiculous, because if there's some lines for that movie that are just stuck in my head, it's been 22 years.
Why don't you do right? Like some other man do.
Kevin is singing. Write this down, everyone.
Think of the Jessica Rabbit song.
Wow, you do a great Amy.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? The best part of the film? Donald and Daffy.
Yes.
That was great.
That was good.
And Mickey and Bugs.
It wasn't as good. I rather Daffy and the. That was funny.
To have Droopy come back, too, is also great.
That was good. No, I enjoyed that.
What about Mr. Haney as a Bullet?
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah,
that wasn't bad.
I love the whole thing. I mean, it's like, all the tunes going together. And
I like him destroying his car in Toontown. I liked when he got to Toontown. I was really excited when he got to Toontown.
Yep.
But I don't think I need to ever rewatch this again. I will never revisit this.
I will.
I've seen it a few times.
Okay, we got to wrap this up.
All right. So the last thing, what did Bob buy?
What, Bob buy anything?
Bob bought nothing, but he did, like...
Okay, move along. Karen. Right,
what did Karen buy?
Karen bought season 1 and 2 of The New Adventures of Old Christine on DVD. Found a nice bin sale at the Future Shop.
And have you watched any of them?
Well, that's a whole other story. That's not what the question is. The question is,
what did you buy? Anything?
No, that's your job. You buy all the. You do a much better job of movie buying, and I just happily watch.
And the question isn't, what did Simon steal? What did Simon buy?
I bought Go.
That's a great movie.
And something else, and I'm sorry, I've forgotten the other movie I bought.
Oh, was that movie with...
Sarah Pauly.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I bought Go for 99 cents.
I love that movie.
99 cents.
I always shop at the Goodwill. I go to the Goodwill, 99 cents for all movies.
Zach,
you need to go to the Goodwill. I haven't watched it yet.
What did Kevin buy? Kevin bought...
That's a smaller pile than last time.
Oh, I know. It's just... I haven't been...
You didn't buy the American.
The should be for Kevin. What did
why?
Not the what American. Did Kevin buy, but what
why?
Didn't Kevin buy?
Because I like this
didn't
movie.
Didn't we review this movie already?
We did talk about this movie.
Well, you know, it's just one of the many movies where George Clooney plays a hitman.
Yeah, I like this movie a lot.
No, we haven't done that one yet.
I think
it was in our best of worst of the year, and many of us picked it as the worst.
Was one in my best...
Which isn't the American?
Yeah, he played the hitman who lives in Tuscany. I had
all of the other movies on
Blu-ray.
You're such a completist.
So I got Order of the Phoenix, even though the special edition is coming out in June, so I kind of jumped the gun on that.
But that's more...
It's only $7 on Blu-ray.
Here's what Kevin's going to do. Trade it in and buy the special edition, because we know he will.
Of course. So it was only $7, and I actually traded... what did I trade? I traded the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, you bought the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, I had the Bounty Hunter.
Oh, I had to get rid of it. I'm a little embarrassed for you.
Of some things, of course, I bought All Star Superman on Blu-ray, which was
great.
That's something I haven't seen
in the last episode. And then because I was feeling a little, kind of anti-people, I got Life After People, I got a used season 2 from the History Channel.
I've never heard of this.
It's actually a really cool series.
Welcome to Earth Population Zero.
Like, the idea is, like, what would happen if all the population of Earth just vanished?
Oh, you could use a mic.
Oh, sorry, but the idea is, like, what if we all just vanished one day? Like, there, and it talks about how long it would take for various types of buildings to collapse. And,
or your milk to spoil and explode in your refrigerator.
Yeah, and it's sorry. I've seen some of the first series on the History Network. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Yeah, it's like, it's not the story of why or how man disappeared. It's what happens after we're gone.
Bye-bye.
What happens to our structures, what happens to Simon.
I know.
At 150 years, mm-hmm. Simon is still standing.
Watching rivets.
But the rivets are starting to show. At 400 years after people.
There'll be a lot of bobcats.
Simon is still watching bootlegged movies.
Listen, man, I don't make
them.
He's forcing
us to watch them.
And 1,000 years after people, the power is off.
Well,
and Simon's done.
I'll make my own Jack Black and Be Kind, Rewind.
Year or two.
What, you'll have to sweet all the movies?
All right, that's it. I'm Kevin.
I'm Karen.
Bob, intern.
And I'm Deb.
And I'm Simon, who's never seen Taxi Driver. If they make it,
Zach will make us watch it.
And review it.